Well, amen and amen. Grab your copy of God's Word as you grab your seat. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, as we continue our series, Bless Our 20. Bless Our 20. I don't want to have to go over this every week, you know, as far as what does that mean. Hopefully by this point in 2026, our centennial year, you've understood what our 20 is. That is the region around this church that is our primary mission field. It is our location. It's where God has put us, and He's called us to reach it. Now, for most of our lives, you know, when the church talked about outreach, we pretty much knew what that meant. Go get somebody to come to church, right? Get them to church. It was a come and see approach. Invite your neighbor to Sunday school. Bring your friend to a revival. Get the kids to VBS. Invite somebody to the Christmas program. Have a friend day and make sure that you bring a friend. And so the basic strategy was simple. You get them inside the building and somebody will tell them about Jesus. That's a come and see approach. And here's the thing. It worked. Praise God. It worked for much of the 20th century. Here in America, the church was in a positive light with our culture, right? America was a very church-oriented culture. Even people that didn't go to church, they usually knew something about church. You know, grandma went to church, or they had been to a VBS. They knew what Sunday school was. They knew some of the Bible stories. It wasn't intimidating for them to walk into a sanctuary or a worship center because they were familiar with it. And so churches got really good at come and see. And I want to be clear, there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong about inviting people to church. I hope you're inviting people to church. I mean, especially people in our 20, right? It's feasible for them to come. It's a 20-minute drive, at least a 20-minute drive. That's why we call it our 20, one of the reasons. 20-minute drive from where they live to our church. And so I hope that when you meet somebody that doesn't have a church or doesn't know Jesus, I pray that one of your first thoughts is, man, I'd love them. I would love for them to come to church with me. But here's the problem. What about the people that ain't coming? What about the people that aren't going to set foot in a church, right? I mean, what about the person that's not looking for a church, or the person that doesn't have any church background whatsoever? What about the person that's not going to respond to a Facebook post, even one that we have boosted, right? They're not going to notice a sign. They're not going to show up for a special event. They're not sitting at home right now thinking, you know what my life is missing? It's missing church, right? How are we going to reach them? Now, they're all around us, amen? The folks that we're talking about here, they're sitting beside you at the ball field, working down the hall from you, maybe cutting your hair, waiting your table, beside you at the checkout line at the Pig, maybe just living a door or two down from you. Again, they are in our 20. And if they're not coming to where we are, then maybe it's time for us to get serious about going to where they are. Now, maybe that should be our first thought anyway, right? Maybe that should be our first plan because, to truth be told, when you look at the New Testament, that's actually the dominant picture of outreach and evangelism. It isn't the church sitting inside the building saying, hey, y'all, come. No. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. And in the parable that we're going to look at here in just a moment this morning, we're going to see the same approach. Now, we're not going to stop a come and see approach. We're going to continue to do that. But if we're serious about blessing our 20 as we celebrate our 100th, come and see it can't be our entire approach. That can't be all of our strategy. We have to rediscover the missionary mentality that Jesus gave his church from the beginning, which is go and tell. That's the title of this morning's message. Go and tell. You see, the come and see approach says, boy, I sure hope they come and see so that I can tell them about God's goodness. But the go and tell approach says, God has sent me. I'm going to go and see them so that I can tell them about God's goodness. And that's the approach that today's takeaway is calling us to. Here's today's takeaway, what I hope you walk out of here with from this text today. Adopt a go and tell mentality that meets people where they are in hour 20. Adopt a go and tell mentality that meets people where they are in hour 20. That's what we see illustrated here in the parable of the great banquet. Let's read our text today, beginning here, Luke 14 in the 12th verse. The word of God says this: He, that's Jesus, also said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, Jesus said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, actually that was the other man that said that. The man that reclined at the table said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said to him in reply, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything's now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word would speak to us today. And even though this may be a text that we're familiar with, I ask that it just refresh us today. Give us new eyes, God. Challenge us a way that maybe we've not been challenged recently or maybe ever. Father, your word, you promise, is living and active. And so I pray that it'll meet right here and wound us appropriately, that we may go forth and help heal this community. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look here at the word, I want you to notice this morning that the master in the parable first uses a come and see approach, doesn't he? Right, the text implies that he had sent out invitations long in advance. I mean, this was customary in those days, right? Come and see, the invitation basically said, the big party that I've prepared. Now, I want you to understand, that's a key part to the come and see approach. There has to be something enticing enough, intriguing enough, interesting enough to get people out of their schedule to come. And when it works, it works. It's beautiful. But when it doesn't, it doesn't. And the master here in the text, he even gives him a reminder, right? He sends his master around to say to the invited guest, hey, don't forget you've been invited to come and see. And when the invited guests don't come to the banquet, here's the emphasis here. The master doesn't say, oh my goodness, well, I guess there's nothing else we can do. Now, what does he say? Go. Go. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes. Go. Go out to the highways and the hedges. Go out. Go to where they are. And beloved, when people won't come and see, we must go and tell. Now, to be fair, we're not having an issue with come and see here. People are coming, amen? But they are. New faces in the worship crowd every week. We've seen our worship gathering grow over the last few years. We've seen our Sunday school grow over that same period. We just had, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but we just had our largest monthly Sunday school average back in February. 367 in Sunday school. And we're on track this month here in August to surpass that. And Paul and I were talking just this past week. We were just 8 people away last Sunday from having 400 in Sunday school. I'm not talking about the worship gathering. I'm talking about Sunday school. Y'all, that's outstanding. And as I've noted before, our Sunday school is using every room, some of them former closets, right? Some at this point are meeting in flex classrooms in the kids' zone, the student center, the worship center. In fact, again, Pastor Paul and I were talking this past week of one of our adult groups has outgrown its room. Praise God. And they'll soon move into a flex classroom in one of those big rooms. We have a children's ministry and a student ministry that's overflowing. If you weren't here this past Wednesday night, you may not know this, but our student ministry has grown such that it can no longer meet on Wednesday nights in the student center. There are so many there that they can't do what needs to be done, and so they have come in and they've taken over the worship center. Just picture this for a moment. Amen. On Wednesday night, right? Praise God. All right, yeah. Just picture the worship center transformed, chairs taken up, tables set up, 9 square and all the games set up, and a place of worship right here, several rows deep, where our students are meeting, gathering, right? We're not having a problem with come and see when we do a special event like VBS or a fall festival. People come. People come. So we're not having a problem with come and see. But when we face the vast lostness around us, we can't rely simply on a come and see approach. We must go and tell. Let me hit you with just a few facts, a few stats. Now, you've probably heard these before from me, but I want to share them with you again. Lauderdale County, in a population of around 80,000, has nearly 60,000 who are not connected to a church. And of those 60,000, nearly 50,000 of them, they estimate, are not saved. Newton County, a population nearly 22,000, 17,000 are not connected to a church. 14,000 of those not saved. Neshoba County, a population around 30,000, nearly 22,000 of those not connected to a church. Nearly 18,000 of them not saved. Kemper County, a population around 10,000, nearly 8,000 of them not connected to a church, and nearly 7,000 of them aren't saved. And our 20 touches all 4 of those counties. And so when you combine all these numbers together in the 4 counties, that's just over 140,000 people, and 75% of them don't go to church anywhere. 63% of them are lost. That's staggering, isn't it? Right? I thought we were in the Bible Belt. I thought everybody was saved around here. But when you look at the vast lostness, we are thankful for those that will come and see. But with that level of lostness around us, we must go and tell in our 20. So we must adopt a go and tell mentality that meets people where they are in our 20. And if we are going to do this, then there are three things that accompany this go and tell mentality. They're exemplified for us in our text today. First, we should expect some to make excuses. You've ran into them, right? Excuses. That's what we see here. Folks had been invited. The master even sent his servant to remind them of their invitation. And what does he encounter? Well, look at verse 18 through 20. But they all alike began to make what, church? Excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. He, the servant, encountered excuses. Now, these three excuses, I think they represent some of the most common excuses that we encounter when it comes to God and the things of God as we share with people. The field kind of represents what you might call the what I have excuse. Right? Sorry, I don't have time for that because my eyes are fixed on what I have or could have. The oxen, that represents the what I do excuse. Sorry, I don't have time for God because my hands are busy serving this other thing. And the wife it represents, or she represents the what I love excuse, right? Sorry, I don't have time for God because my heart is fixed on this other thing. Eyes, hands, heart, all of these things come together and offer excuses. And when we go into our 20, we're going to hear those excuses. Man, I might consider God at some point, but work's really busy right now. It's taking all of my attention. Oh, you know, church sounds so interesting, but Sunday's my family day. I mean, that's the day that all my folk get together and we hang out all day long. Oh, my spouse isn't really into church. And look, I don't want to have tension with them. I would love to come, but my children are in dance or fill in the blank. And that's when we go compete. Sorry, it's deer season. Sorry, it's turkey season. Sorry, it's duck season. Sorry, it's football season. Sorry, it's soccer season. Sorry, it's volleyball season. Sorry, it's baseball and softball season. You know, Pastor Paul, nobody around here says, sorry, it's basketball season. I guess that's a Kentucky thing, ain't it? But we're going to hear all sorts of excuses. And we got to go tell them anyways, don't we? Our job is to go and tell. We can't say, well, they're going to come up with excuses, therefore I'm excused. No, no. Our job is to go and tell. We're the letter carrier. We're the mail deliverer. And what they do with the letters between them and God. But you need to understand that many folks will not hear unless we go and tell. And that's the truth right here. I don't care how many churches are on the corners, unless we go and tell, people will not hear. So, despite their excuses, we're going to adopt that go and tell mentality. That's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to expect some excuses. But secondly, if we're going to do this, if we're going to have this kind of go and tell mentality, we must prioritize, secondly, we see in the text here, those who are hungry. Prioritize those who are hungry. Now, you've got here in the beginning, right, the folks who had originally been invited to come and see, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. And again, as I said earlier, the master doesn't just throw up his hands and say, well, forget the banquet then. No, he tells the servant to go find new people. Look at verse 21 with me. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that he directs them to a certain segment of society. And notice who that segment isn't, right? He doesn't say go to the elite, go to the officials, go to the accomplished, go to the affluent. No, he says go to the poor, crippled, blind, lame. Now we have to ask, why those people? And the answer is because those are the people who are hungry. Those are the people who are desperate. Those are the people who realize they're missing something in life and they're looking for it. These were the people who would immediately recognize the value of this invitation. I think about the contrast here because I think the contrast is important. The first folks basically said, I've already got plenty going on. I don't need your banquet. But the second group, when somebody came running up to them and said, hey, there is a banquet prepared at the master's house and there's a place at the table for you. They said, what? Me? That's amazing news. They were honored that the master would even invite them. And plus, they could use a good meal. Hungry people recognize the value of a banquet. In fact, before Jesus even told this parable, there were people, these people that we're talking about here. These are the people that Jesus had already said that will give us the most blessing in reaching out to. Look at verse 12, 13, and 14 in our text. Jesus said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so I say to you, beloved, this morning, we need to prioritize those in our 20 who are hungry. Look for the man whose marriage is falling apart. He finally admits, I don't know what to do. Look for the mama who's overwhelmed trying to raise her youngins. I need help, she says. Look for the man that spent his whole life chasing money and possessions and he's finally discovered, man, this is like chasing air. It doesn't satisfy. Look for the teenager that's desperate to know where he belongs. Look for the person who just lost a loved one. They're going through grief. They have questions about eternity. And look for the person that's made a mess of their life and finally realizes, I can't fix it. These are signs of hunger, aren't they? These are moments when God may already be working in somebody's heart, right? We need to have our eyes open to recognize these moments in life. It might be what you call low-hanging fruit. There's nothing wrong with going after low-hanging fruits. Those that are most likely to come to Christ. In fact, in evangelism, they talk about this continuum of those who are closest to trusting Christ and those who are far, far away from trusting Christ. Those who are tender to those who are concrete hard. And there are people all along that continuum. And we're gonna share with everybody, but the wise church prioritizes those who are hungry. Again, that doesn't mean we're gonna stop reaching out to resistant people. It just means we're gonna pay attention where God's already working. He's already creating openness. That's exactly who the master wanted pursued, isn't it? The hurting, the searching, the lonely, the struggling, those who are asking questions, those who are in crisis. These are the hungry folks who will rejoice when we say, hey, I know where you can find bread. Remember, evangelism is simply a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I found bread. Let me show you what I've found so that you may partake and eat and be filled forever. We're still going to knock on the door of the satisfied, but we're going to prioritize those who are hungry. Finally, as we adopt a go-and-tell mentality that meets people where they are in our 20, we must refuse to be satisfied with empty seats. Refuse to be satisfied with empty seats. We see here in the parable, the master invites folks to come and see, but they come up with excuses, and so the master said, go into the streets and lanes and tell others to come. And what do we see here? Folks came, didn't they? The master said, we've done that, and here they are. Praise God. Look, if we go and tell people, folks will come to the Lord and to our church. But I want you to notice what happens next in this parable. Verse 22 and 23. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. So the master here was glad that people had come, but there were empty seats. And that didn't satisfy him, right? He refused to be satisfied with empty seats. And so he sends the servant back out, but this time he sends him out farther, doesn't he? The first time was to the lanes, the streets and the lanes. This time, he sends them further to the highways and hedges. And this time, he says, compel them. Compel them. That's an uptick from just encouraging and inviting. When you compel somebody, you have an urgency to what you're saying. You have an emotional intensity behind your effort and your request, compel them, beg them. Why? Because there's still room. There is still room. And I want to say to you this morning, beloved, there is still room in heaven. Amen? It ain't been filled yet. How do we know? Because Jesus ain't come back yet. The promise of God says that when the full number has come in, then Jesus will come back. And so what can we deduce from that? It ain't full yet. Still more to be saved. Still more in God's plan to see turn from sin and to trust in Christ. There's still room in the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to say, turn around and look at seats right here. Seats. We set up 650 seats every week, right at. And every week, depending on how many are here, there are about 200 to 250 seats empty. 200 to 250 seats empty. There is still room for people to come in. And actually, the rule of thumb is that a room is full at 80%. And we sort of operate here around 65%, 60, 65, 70%, depending on the Sunday. There is still even functional room. I'm not talking about a soul seat. I'm talking about functional space as well. In this worship gathering, there is still room, and you should not be satisfied, and I should not be satisfied until every seat is filled. Amen? And guess what? When it is, we're going to build space for more. Amen? Now, that's what we're already doing, isn't it? Aren't we already in the season here in just a little bit at our member meeting? Our chair of the construction committee, Andy Hatcher, is going to tell us what we've been planning and what we've been looking at and all the things, the updates and all of that that he's going to give here in just a little while, because we've deduced already that, yeah, there are enough seats in this room, but there ain't enough seats in these other rooms. We need to create more seats because there is still lost people in this place that need Jesus. And so we must refuse to be satisfied with empty seats. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to adopt a go and tell mentality that meets people where they are in hour 20. And all throughout the month of September, you'll see the plan, and we'll begin to promote as we go along. But I want to go ahead and front load this. If you're taking notes, write down this date. September 12. September 12. September 12 is our community block party. Community block party. It's not going to happen here at this campus. We're going to move off campus. We're going to take over downtown Collinsville is what we're going to take over, all right? We're going to take over the intersection there. Every corner, we're going to have an opportunity for people to serve. And if I've said this already to you, just get ready. You're going to hear it over and over again until you're sick of it, until you say, yes, I will sign up to go make a difference outside of these walls. We're going to have car wash going on there, the Chisholm side of the four-way. We're going to have drinks and other things passing out there at the Double Quick. We're going to have Kona Ice or Snow Biz or one of those set up there at Tate's Fireworks, Lord willing. On the monument side of the square, we're not sure what we're doing yet, but there's going to be something over there. And we're going to have a true block party in the field between the pig and the bank over here. September 12th, 9 to noon, we're going to have a community block party. We're going to celebrate with our community our birthday outside of these walls. And we're not going to say, y'all come and see. We're going to go and tell. We're going to go and celebrate with them. Don't miss that opportunity. There will be plenty of opportunity for you to sign up and serve those. Probably, it'll probably end up being like 5 hours, right? You got to set up 3 hours of direct ministry and then time to kind of tear down that morning. And so can't wait for us to do this. 75% of the people in hour 20 aren't connected to a church. 64% of them aren't even saved. Now, the Bible over and over again talks about God being a mighty fortress. We talk about the kingdom of God. And that envisions like castles and walls and fortresses and all that stuff that we can come into, right? The Bible even talks about the people of God running into the fortress of God. But I want you to understand, he is a fortress, but we are not going to stay behind these walls. We must go and tell. In fact, it's interesting. The book of Hebrews literally calls us in the 13th chapter to listen to this word here. Go outside the camp. Go outside the camp. Why? So that people all throughout the nations will be saved. Here's my final prayer today. May we go and tell, so that many in our 20 shall come to the banquet of God.